You are Locked On Raptors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, how's it going? Welcome to episode number 278 of Locked On Raptors for Thursday, February 15th. I'm your host, Sean Woodley of LockedOnRaptors.com and RaptorsHQ.com. You can find me on Twitter at WoodleySean. The show's on Twitter as well, Locked On Raptors. You can find links to every single episode. Of course, Locked On Raptors is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, which hosts team-focused shows for all 30 NBA teams as well as all 32 NFL teams. There's Locked On Fantasy. There's Locked On NBA. There's so much stuff for you to dig into, more than you could ever possibly listen to on your own. You might get a buddy to help you out. But if you find a show on the network that you like, find it on iTunes, leave a rating, leave a review, subscribe, help out the host of that show. And you can do that with us. Find Locked On Raptors on iTunes. It's the easiest way to help out the show, show that you care. All this stuff I've preached a million times on this show before, but it seriously helps. And it makes us more visible and more popular and easier to find and all that good stuff. And the algorithms love it. So please do that. Anyway, on today's show, that little snicker you hear is from our friend Mitch Robson. How's it going, buddy?
You've done 278 of these?
Yeah.
That's impressive.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
You're approaching like legendary status of the Locked On family, I guess.
Well, they all kind of started around the same time. I think I was after most of them, so I'm a little bit behind some of them, but
yeah, I don't even know what I've done 278 times in my life, so shouts to you.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah. I'm not sure if I've done this concept for a podcast before, but we're going to find out if the people are mad that we've done it for a second time. I don't think we have. But the idea for today's podcast, the Raptors are really fun. They're 41-16 at the All-Star break. They're two games up in the Eastern Conference because the Celtics are garbage. And seriously though, how do you go on a 16 game winning streak and not be number one in your conference? That's crazy. I don't understand.
Well, I mean, it's like the Cavs went on what, an 18 game winning streak?
18 of 19. Yeah. 18 of 19.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, the Raptors have just been a metronome all season. They're very fun, though. They're a fun metronome. Everyone is doing stuff. The young guys are great. CJ Miles bombs threes. Kyle Lowry is really fun. DeMar DeRozan's having the best season of his career, even though his counting stats are down a little bit. Just across the board, the team is very fun. They had 38 assists last night against the Bulls. There's dunks. There's young guys doing stuff you wouldn't have expected. There's DeLon Wright blocking dudes. There's Pascal Siakam in transition. There's a whole bunch of fun stuff about this team. You know, off the court, there's Lucas Nogueira being really fun and quirky. You have the bromance between Siakam and Poeltl. It's a very endearing team up and down the roster, and I thought it'd be fun to try to power rank the Raptors in terms of fun and in likability and enjoyability. Mostly just fun. Who's the most fun Raptor on the team is what the mission of this podcast is going to be. We're going to go from the bottom up. We're not going to count the two-way guys because we don't really know those guys enough right now. But we're going to go from the bottom up and rank the team in terms of fun quotient or whatever the hell metric you want to use for this. Are you ready to do this, Mitch?
Yes, and I think that we're going to disagree with the first one.
That's fine. We're going to get to that in just a second. We're going to get to our disagreement and yelling. But first, I want to tell you about our sponsor for today. And of course, that is Draft. Fantasy basketball fans, listen up. If you love fantasy basketball, you got to try my new favorite app, and that is Draft. It's daily fantasy basketball, but not like the other guys. On Draft, you play real live snake drafts with other people, just like in your season-long league, and here's how it works. It's a draft that lasts for just one night, and there's no management. You just set it and forget it. Once you're done drafting, that's it. There's no trades, no waiver wire. Draft will even take care of injuries for you. They'll send you a push notification and say, hey, Jimmy Butler is out at the last minute with a sore thumb. You got to replace him. And you do that, and you're fine because it's a deep player pool. If you're playing small leagues, there's a good guy that you can replace Jimmy Butler with, as good as Jimmy Butler is. Drafts start every couple minutes, so you can join one right now. And the best part is that you play for cold, hard cash. That's right, drafts start from just $1. So there's a draft for everybody. There's no salary caps. You play in a real live snake draft, just like you play with your friends in a season-long league. Come join me on Draft today. Download the app anytime. Just search Draft in your app store and join a game in minutes or play right from your computer at draft.com. Whatever you want to do. An update, if you have an Android device in Canada, there is now an app for Android. There wasn't for a while. There is now. So if you have an Android and you want to join Draft, you've been holding off until there's an app, you can do that now and download it in the Google Play Store. For a limited time only, all new players get a free entry into a draft when you make your first deposit, but you have to use my promo code, and that promo code is LORaptors, all one word as in Locked On Raptors. That's right, you play a real money game for free just for using my promo code LORaptors on your first deposit on Draft. Every Wednesday is Draft Wednesday on the Locked On Podcast Network. I host a listener league each week. It's the same few guys that come every week, but it's really fun. Yesterday we did a four-person league. I was kicking ass. I had Anthony Davis. I was blowing the other guys out, and then the guy up against me had both Damian Lillard and Kevin Durant and beat me at the very end, and it sucked, but he won $10, so I'm happy for him. So, you can do that every Wednesday. Follow me on there, Locked On Sean, and it's a really good time. Just download Draft and use the promo code LORaptors to get that free entry.
All right. Popping on Draft right now, putting in all my life savings.
Do it. It's fun.
Such a good ad.
Yeah, do it. It's good.
Love Draft. Gotta love Draft.
I'm out of breath after reading that, but hey, that's the price you pay. Are you ready to do this?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Let's start, I guess, from the bottom. We'll go, I guess, 14 guys deep. Poor Bruno Caboclo no longer counts because he isn't around anymore. But we'll start from, I guess, the least fun guy on the 15-man or the main roster is probably Malachi Richardson. Is that fair?
Yes, just because we don't know about him yet.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll go with him as number 14, just because, yeah, there's no, like, in-game.
We haven't learned of any funny storylines, any intriguing things that he really does, any kind of quirks that he has in his game, so we have to wait on that.
Yeah, there haven't been any, like good features written on him yet. I'm sure Blake will actually have one within the next 25 minutes, because he's a robot, and, like, a little bat signal goes up.
3,000 words.
Yeah, here's Malachi Richardson's entire life story from the beginning. He once was a fetus. So yeah, Malachi Richardson, pretty easy for the last place on the Raptors 14-man roster right now. Now it gets hard because everyone else is very likable. Who do you have as number 13?
Okay, so this is probably going to stir the pot a little bit.
Okay.
Because when I think of fun, I want to go mostly with guys who, when they come into the game, a smile creeps across your face.
Mm-hmm.
And their off-court presence matches that. I am one who appreciates the social media and all the antics, probably more so than the on-court product.
Right.
So, considering everything that's happened, he's probably one of the most mature on the team, personality-wise, and the way he carries himself. I think DeMar is going to come in at the bottom here, just because he's having a career, but he just goes about his business, goes home. Yes, he has his little antics with Kyle, but Kyle's kind of the leader of that one, and he's just kind of the added comedy, just following up with a witty line here or there. But
he's kind of the grumpy dad in that dynamic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think if we're going in terms of actual, like, humor and fun, DeMar's having a great season on the court, but he's just a guy that's going to get the job done for you.
See, I disagree that he's this low, this far down, because his on-court play has been incredibly fun to watch this season. And, like, whenever he pulls up for a three, it actually is, like, exciting now, and there's, like, an anticipation there that it's actually going to fall as opposed to brick out or go long or air. And, like, his footwork I find to be one of the most just glorious things to watch in the NBA. His playmaking has been so much better, like him throwing skip passes from the right corner over to the wing to CJ Miles. Like, it's beautiful and actually very enjoyable. So I can't go that low with DeMar. I agree, his off-court stuff, he's just kind of a dad, right? He's just sort of
He's
reserved off the court. But I think the on-court product has to at least be the 50% of it. So I don't think I would go to Mar 13. I would say Norm Powell probably 13 right now.
I guess, yeah, with the way the commercials are kind of coming back against him and getting kicked out of the rotation right now.
I also just think, like, his demeanor, like, he's a very good quote, but it's a very, like, business-like quote whenever he
has a
one.
Very stoic face all the time, too. Very, like, a very severe resting bitch face.
Yeah.
Like, it's RBF affects him more than most guys. And then when you get into the game, too, now, it's a lot of, like, everyone, I think everyone's kind of a little nervous when he has the ball and he goes on his drives to the rim. Like, you know it's going to end poorly.
Yeah.
So I could see Norm going to that last spot, or OG Anunoby is probably down here around 10, 11, 12.
Yeah, we'll get to OG. I think there's no way he's up in the top echelon right now, just because I think while his on-court stuff is very fun and, like, his dunks are great and it's just really exciting that there's, like, an actually, like, high upside rookie on the team, I do think his off-court stuff, like, the lack of answers, it's funny to an extent, but then it's just, like, I'd rather just, like, know this guy a little bit better, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I can settle with Norm in this spot.
Okay, yeah, because, like, again, I think had he played better this season and he was throwing down dunks like he has in the past, like, I think that probably bumps him up a bit, but he's not doing that right now. He's kind of lost what makes him good as a player, and off court he's not really any sort of, like, grand personality, so I think for now he's 13. Number 12, I don't want to put DeMar that low. I don't think I could do it. It's hard. Like,
it's very close. I think because DeMar is such a big part of this team, right, and the focal point, the all-star, yeah, and the leader, that it seems odd to put him down this low. But I get your other two nominees, I think, at this point would have to be either Bebe or OG Anunoby.
I think it's Bebe just because, as like,
he's not on the floor.
He's the inverse of DeMar, right? Where his on-court stuff is like, oh, it's frustrating. Frustrating his health at this point. But off the court, I mean, there's no better quote in the locker room than Lucas Nogueira. And like, sometimes he, like, it feels like he talks to the point where he doesn't even know what he's saying himself. But that's cool.
That's like to a T, that NBA TV Canada commercial.
Yes.
Where he's getting on the elevator. And he's like, I don't compete with me, but I do just compete with me because I don't let anyone compete with me except myself.
Yeah. It's like
very philosophical, but also incredibly simple at the same time.
It's like the kind of shit Kyrie thinks he's saying. it's messed up that we are two guys in and already have disagreement as to who should be where.
There's literally no villains on this team.
Yeah, it's kind of annoying.
Because I think every other Raptors team has had at least a villain. Like last year, Patrick Patterson became the villain.
Mm-hmm.
And
DeMar Carroll.
DeMar Carroll definitely is a villain, especially after he left. But like John Solomons could have been a villain.
Yeah.
Grievous Vasquez. Like any of the role guys they've had in past years when they've had vets on that bench end up being kind of the scapegoats.
That's just what he is.
Yeah, like I think having this young bench where all the guys are just putting in their work and getting along and having fun doing what they do has been like a major reason for obviously the on-court success, but just the entertainment factor on the team too.
So I think based on the conversation, we've settled on some order of DeMar, Bebe, and OG for these next three spots. Like,
The Raptor social media stuff, which has been really great, the bit where OG just says, like, we're playing blank, it was funny the first couple times. I'm kind of done with it now.
All right, so what if we do Bebe 12, OG 11, and DeMar 10?
10. I like that. Okay. We can lock that in.
Because there's a thing
locked
about...
on that in.
Oh, God.
Bang.
We could David lock that in. Shouts to David Locke, the hardest working man in the podcast game. So DeMar 10, I think OG below DeMar just because we need to know him a little bit more. And like, it's so hard. This isn't a slight against him to be 11th in terms of the fun meter on this team, right? Like, it's...
No, sometimes not everyone can be like the most fun dude on the team. Some guys just got to go to work and get buckets. And that's what DeMar's done, and he's assisting. Yeah. So, yeah, no hate there. Be a dad. Be the oldest 28-year-old in the league. If that's
With a son who you're 3 years younger than, yeah.
He planted a dark horse MVP level.
Yeah. Okay, so now we're going on to the final nine guys, which I think it gets insanely difficult here. I think it'd be like useful to sort of try to break them up into tiers as we go here. So like...
Okay. My initial thought here is you're going to put CJ Miles, Kyle Lowry, and Ibaka into that last like starters tier.
Right.
I guess JV is kind of the swing man because like JV is just such a funny dude and like has such that dry European sense of humor. And now that he's hitting threes, like it's an event when he pulls up in the ACC. And then the bench, you can go on any ranking you want, but they are the cult heroes of this team. So,
but I don't, here's the thing is like, I don't think it needs to be separated like that because I think Lowry has a shot to be higher up than say Ibaka, right? Like I think.
Yeah. I mean, Lowry's kind of demonstrative side and like fights with refs are really what like are entertaining too. Right.
Also the thing where he just like cuts out the holes of Gatorade cups and makes binoculars.
Yeah. The binoculars interview with Jack.
What the hell
can
is
we get,
that?
Can we put Devon on this list?
He's having fun this year, man.
The keg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Black Panther in theaters.
Yeah, the fact that like now they're up by 20 in every game just means they can get going on tangents even earlier than they used to be able to, which has really been a great addition on a cold like February Tuesday.
Yeah. All right.
Just loopy.
We got to get back on track here.
Anyways.
I don't know.
I think CJ Miles would probably be my next guy because he is kind of that fun dude with the bench, like as the bench dad.
Right.
And has a nice little rap career going, but he's just kind of a genuine, nice, like 33-year-old man.
See, I don't think I can put CJ there. He's also only 30.
Okay, well, yeah.
Just because
yeah, it feels
he
like
is,
he's been in the league for 15 years, but
he's one of the best and most genuine quotes on the team, and I think that matters for this for the purposes of this.
Yes, because the writers are all that matter.
Well, no, I think he's also like a good gateway into what the team is thinking for fans, right? Like he will kind of speak in a more long and sort of elongated form, I guess, as opposed to like Lowry or Rosen, who have to talk every single game. Like Miles, you get good stuff out of. I think like the best quotes that come in most stories about the Raptors are usually from CJ Miles.
Well, I think the thing is when CJ is on, he's probably one of the most fun dudes on the team.
Last week has been incredible.
Yeah. But then those nights when he's gone 0-for-7, it's just kind of bland.
Yeah, you do kind of get the like the Patrick Patterson.
You get the peaks and valleys, and that's just the nature of the beast.
Yeah, when Miles is off, you kind of get the Patrick Patterson vibes. Like this dude has one job, like do the job. Yeah. But like he more often than not, he's on. So I don't know if I could. I might put Ibaka at 9.
Like, Ibaka, when he is not playing well, is very demoralizing to watch. I think that really brings him down because it's just like it's jumpers that hit front rim constantly and like not rebounding and being slow on defense and not getting rotations. But his like Playboy Instagram Snapchat presence really does it for me, being like the French James Bond from Africa that like every woman would sleep with like on a snap of a finger. So I just want to rank him a little higher for the swag.
All right. Who else would be in the running for this spot? Oh, yeah, I just like Ibaka. I think his on-court play can kind of drag everything down because when he's not playing well, it's like, all right, this is the third highest played player on the team, the third best player on the team. And when he's not performing, it's like kind of a drag. It's like, yeah, this guy, we need him to be much better than this. Whereas Miles is kind of a luxury, right? Like if he's not off, like they can kind of find it from other places most nights. But like if he's off, like if he's on, it's just like, wow, we're scoring 130 points tonight.
Yeah, I agree. I think you can go a combination of Miles and JV at 8-9, and I will approve.
Miles and Miles Ibaka?
Or Miles Ibaka, sorry, okay. Yeah.
I'm going to go Ibaka 9 because it's my podcast, and I'll go CJ Miles at 8.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, now we're on to 7.
See, I think now this is where it gets interesting because I think you either go one of DeLon or Fred and then JV.
See, I think it's JV. I think it's just. I think it's either JV or Poeltl, actually.
See, with Poeltl, it's very funny to me because when he's like having a great game, he's everywhere and he's like blocking shots and like he's kind of developing a little bit of a swagger too when he's like denying guys at the rim, which I like to see.
Yeah, that's true.
But then like also just his foul like follicles and like the chronicles of Poeltl getting 2 fouls in 10 seconds is really entertaining.
Say foul follicles.
Yeah, I meant to say Chronicles and Follicles came out because I was trying to say Foul Chronicles.
The Foul Follicles.
Yeah, it's a hair loss drug.
Yeah, that LeBron James.
Yeah.
The Foul Follicles. Actually, the hair, the LeBron follicles. James story.
Yes, no fouls and no follicle. But yeah, I think you can go with either of those guys. Yak is kind of coming into his own. His personality is coming out a lot more beside Pascal.
Yeah.
But
I do think Pascal kind of lifts that up, though. Like he's the driving force of that partnership. He's very much the Lowry to Poeltl's DeRozan.
Yes, that's a perfect comp.
Yeah, so I'll say Poeltl at 7. He's very fun, but I don't think he's quite on the level of Jonas because I think Jonas this season, I feel like he's getting a boost because people were so tired of him before this year.
Oh, and me being like the chief fan of that, like
I was exhausted. I was done with the conversation. I was done with all the discourse about him, and I just like his style of play. I was like, yeah, this is ancient. There's no way this translates. He can't play defense. He can't defend a pick and roll. He can't shoot threes. Like it's just not like post ups are not a way you want to get offense anymore. And I thought that was kind of the only way they were going to use him. And like this season, his post ups are way down. His pick and roll attempts are through the roof. He's shooting threes at a ridiculous rate of late.
Yeah, it's that, and I think it's also like there's no more like kind of indecision on whether he should play in certain fourth quarters or not. Like Dwayne makes the decision based on matchups totally, and there's no doubt about it. They only made that one mistake this year in that one Wizards game, I think it was,
right,
where they went back to JV and the starters after the bench had brought them back into it. But other than that, like, I think that played a big part in it too, was just like him being out there at the wrong times, and that's on Casey a little bit, but Casey's been so good this year that there's been no doubt. Like JV's been great in his 25 minutes a game, so I'm really
Yeah, the conversation has definitely become more tolerable about him. And you mentioned it, you alluded to it before, like the event that it feels like whenever he goes up for a three.
Oh, it's
incredible.
Like
the... Yeah, it rivals someone going up for like a huge dunk, right? Like it's that fun. Yeah. Like it rivals like DeMar gearing up and like coming around a screen to go for a dunk. It's great.
Oh, totally. It's fantastic. Yeah, it's a great moment.
So is 6 too low for Jonas then?
That's what I think. It might, despite, like, DeLon Wright is a really fun player on the basketball court because of all the things he can do. But if you read that Eric Kareen piece, which I think was really good,
yeah,
he's a very, like, low-key guy.
Eric was definitely wishing that DeLon was a little more forward, I believe, probably.
It was just like, I watch Netflix, I chill, I'll go shop if I need some clothes, and then I go chill. So
I don't know if I can put DeLon that low just because he is, like, his on-court exploits, he is like a top two Raptor for me in terms of like the amount of times I like get out of my seat for something a player on the Raptors does. Like DeLon is right there.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think I can totally put them there, put him there at six. I might put Fred at six. What do you think about that? Like,
it's
put
Jonas
five, Fred six.
I was gonna say it's Fred VanVleet and DeLon Wright. You can kind of go interchangeable because they're both kind of the same guy mindset wise and kind of behavior wise. Like,
yeah,
they both just put their head down, they go to work, they play tough defense, they make shots. And neither of them are really outlandish and have that kind of a personality. I think Fred has a little bit more of a joking personality. But
yeah,
you can go either or, and I won't argue with you.
So, okay, so 4, 5, 6, I guess, is Jonas, Fred, and DeLon. We're deciding between here then.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to – so 4, 5 – do you want to go 6, 5? I'll go 6, 5, 4 in the rankings here. So I think you go – I'd probably go JV at 6.
Okay.
DeLon at 5 and Fred at 4.
I can buy that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fred also has the little guy factor.
If he could dunk, he would be number one.
Dude, do we know for sure he can't?
There's no way. He quoted like last week saying, like, for guys who can't dunk, Kyrie Irving is like our Jordan.
Okay, so can Lowry dunk? I can't remember. I don't know if he's
Lowry has dunked in an All-Star game, remember?
Right. But yeah. Has he dunked like in a real game?
I think he has, like, I think he did with Houston.
Okay.
He hasn't in a long, long time. No.
Yeah.
I feel like we're missing a dude here on this list. There's three spots left. I think we're only at two guys left, no?
You're down to Lowry, Pascal, and Poeltl.
I put Poeltl at 7.
Oh, then who are we missing?
Good question.
The Raptor?
So Richardson, Powell, Bebe. OG, DeRozan, Serge, Miles, Poeltl, JV. What the hell?
we
forgot Alphonso McKinney. He's on the roster.
So you counted Alphonso McKinney in the...
On the 14-man roster.
Well, I just overwrote that. I would put Malachi Richardson ahead of Alphonso. Actually, no. Alphonso McKinney hit those 2 threes in garbage time.
Yeah, and he can also dunk, so...
Oh, yeah. What about Lorenzo Brown? Is he a two-way still?
He's a still two-way.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I fixed it. Alphonso McKinney goes to 13.
Yeah. Big late addition. This might shake up my whole opinion.
Really?
We gotta redo the entire list.
Oh, no.
So we're down to Lowry and Pascal Siakam. That's a very unlikely final two, I think. I don't think this is how the general public would view it, to be totally honest.
People have a weird thing about Lowry that I don't get. Like, he's maybe
everyone thinks he's so ornery, which I don't really get.
No, he's like a little kid.
Yeah, like, he's needly when reporters ask him annoying questions, which we would all be if we were in that situation.
This,
like,
dude just cut out Gatorade cups and put them on his eyes.
Yeah, and, like, the dude goes to Super Bowl and golf. So
yeah.
That's fun.
Also, there's nothing better than a Kyle Lowry fuck you game. Like,
yeah,
it's incredible. When he gets, like, against the Wolves a couple weeks ago, like that Wolves game where he was just on one. Like, there's nothing more fun than that when he's just bombing threes on somebody.
Yeah, the Kyle Lowry pull-up three might be my favorite Raptors play.
That's a whole other conversation. There's
like
a few.
The trailing three or the pull-up three?
Yeah, but, like, in the running for me are... The reason I wanted DeLon as high as I wanted DeLon, and with this re-rank, because I fixed the thing, Fred's at 3 now, DeLon 4, Jonas 5.
think DeLon and Fred are interchangeable. So
yeah, that's fair. Actually, I'm going to move DeLon ahead because DeLon can dunk. He's been doing this weird putback dunk thing lately that I kind of dig.
If he could start knocking down threes, like, at a decent rate, then he becomes probably the most fun guy on the team.
Well, here's the thing. No one Euro steps like him. No one plays defense like him.
Yeah, the DeLon Euro step is, like, sex.
Yeah, I have DeLon. I might want DeLon, too, if I'm being honest.
That's a little high. Pascal Siakam just has, like, funny, like...
Pascal Siakam is the most fun Raptor. I'm saying it right now. He's the most fun Raptor. He's great off the court. His on-court stuff, like when he gets a rebound and runs it down himself, there's nothing more exciting. Like, that is my favorite Raptors play, as we're talking about our favorites. Like, there's DeLon Euro steps, DeLon blocks. There's Pascal just running the damn court like a crazy madman in transition. And that's
A Pirtle block, I think, needs to be in there.
A Pirtle like block a and a Pirtle putback like are kind of interchangeable, yeah. DeMar just, like, juking someone out of his shoes. Shouts to Eric Bledsoe, among many others. Also, Serge's dunks where he kind of comes from the three-point line and dunks from, like, 10 feet out, but his arms somehow reach the basket. Those are really cool.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, when Serge Ibaka dunks now, it's a lot of the times where, like, you see him start dribbling, and you're like, oh, no, how does this end up? And then he's just taking off.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, it's a dunk. All right. Yeah. I'll take that. Yeah.
So I think we've reached – so you're in on Siakam and Lowry 1-2?
Siakam 1 and Lowry is 2?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Kyle Lowry is number one for me, just because he's, like, the guy that made the team fun to begin with.
Yeah, tie goes to the guy who hosts the podcast.
Okay, well, but if we want to go history here...
Also, I think you have to tie in the expectations for Siakam as well. Like, I feel like low expectations breed fun because, like, there's nothing... Like, it's unexpected, right? Like, it's not supposed to happen, yet it's happened. Like, Siakam... People were talking about him as, like, the odd man out of the rotation coming into this season. And, like, 5 games into the year, he's scoring 20 points and a quarter on the Warriors. And it's like, holy shit, this dude is real. And all season long, like, he had a game of, like, 14, 5, and 7 last week. And it was like, what the, like, this should not be happening. But it is for this guy who no one knew who the hell he was when he was picked. And he's kind of turned
himself... You don't watch enough whack basketball, sir.
I watch whack basketball, but not whack basketball.
Waxketball?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think just the unexpected nature of it, the, like, he dunks really hard. He blocks insanely hard, too. Like, he's one of these guys whose blocks just go out of bounds all the time because he doesn't care. He's very much from the Ibaka school of blocking as opposed to Pirtle, who will block it and sort of get his own rebound off of it. But, you know, somewhat, you know, I know it's not good for the defense, and sometimes it leads to the other team scoring, but give me blocks out of bounds. They're really fun and awesome.
It gets, it puts the crowd into it.
Jacks people, like, up. It's it's more, like, you can wave a finger more liberally when you do that.
I'm with you on that. I'm also on showmanship.
I'm really, like, Siakam shooting, like, 14% from three, but every time he shoots a three, I still get excited. It's like the reverse Patrick Patterson or CJ Miles thing where, like... I know it's not supposed to go in, so when it goes in, it's like, hell yeah, keep doing that, buddy. Like, this is good for the long-term health of your game, and when it does go in, it's, like, awesome. And it seems like when he does hit threes, it usually happens at a time in the game which the Raptors have missed 30 threes in a row, and then he's the one to break the streak. Like,
yeah, I feel that. He's one of those guys that, like, it's one of those where, like, he'll just get going on it when they've missed four in a row, and you're like, oh, not another three, man. Just drive, and then it drops.
Yeah. So I think we've... landed on a consensus here for the most part. 1, Pascal Siakam. 2, Kyle Lowry. 3, DeLon Wright. 4, Fred VanVleet. 5, Jonas Valanciunas. 6, Jakob Pertl. By the way, it's crazy that Jonas is 5. He probably would have been like 12
that's
or 13
like
at the start of the year.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the shocking riser of the year.
Yeah, he's the high riser for sure. Yak at 6. CJ Miles, 7. Ibaka, 8. DeMar DeRozan, 9. OG, 10. Lucas Nogueira, 11. Norman Powell's at 12. Alfonso McKinney at 13 and Malachi Richardson at 14. Lorenzo Brown would be below all these guys because, I mean, what is Lorenzo Brown really? He's G League James Harden, and then he won't shoot in the NBA. Malcolm Miller, we've seen like 3 minutes up, so you can't. It's incomplete, his grade. So I think we've done a good job here. I think we've established. This is a question I've been pondering because there's arguments for a lot of guys, but I think Pascal, on the whole, I think he brings it most nights. And like his explosion games, I think, are the most, like, OG doesn't really have them yet. Pascal has them sometimes, and they're really, really damn fun when they happen.
Yeah, I agree. And I think listening back to that list in full, it hurts to have DeMar below Serge, so we might need to flip that.
I agree.
Despite like the antics on social media and like the kind of quirkiness to Surge's game, when he has it going, it's a lot of fun, and like that's a big swing factor in the moods of people. It just doesn't seem right to have DeMar below him.
Are we moving Surge below OG?
I can't do that yet.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to make sure. Just didn't know if it was
Surge,
like a last minute
Surge
decision.
Gets a lot of hate when he's not playing well, but like those games where he has like 20 points and 9 rebounds, like you said, they look like a real juggernaut.
Yeah.
So
his defense has been very good this season too.
Yeah.
He's been kicking ass on that end. All right. I think we've done a pretty good job here.
That was solid. I think this would be accepted by the people.
This is now accepted canon in all conversations in Locked On Raptors universe. This is the official list of the most fun Raptors power ranked.
And, so yeah, you heard it here first. Yeah. Don't let anyone else try to tell you.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. I'm very happy with it. I think it's gonna do it, man. We've been podcasting together because we just did the Hoop Talks podcast for like an hour and a half, and I'm sick of your voice.
I made it through half a bottle of wine, so this was a pretty good excursion.
Oh, right on. Glad I could help in that regard.
Perfect pre.
I'm going to go order some sushi on Skip the Dishes. And
Oh, you have Skip the Dishes?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I live in downtown Toronto, folks, and we still don't have Skip the Dishes here. Yet, like, they're capitalizing on these mid-sized markets, which I think is BS, and I'm stuck with Uber, stuck with unreliable Uber Eats.
Yeah, I'm going to go get some sushi and watch some Olympics and post the podcast. And thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Mitch, do you have anything you want to plug right now?
Not really at the moment. I'm available for hire at companies because I'm graduating soon. So just, you know, hire me.
Mitch is talented.
Yeah, so that's about it for me. Next couple weeks, I'm going to ramp up my coverage at CUSN Network on Twitter, Kane University Basketball, Sean's first true love, obviously. We're getting to tournament time, so that'll be fun. Only 8 teams make it. It's going to be a tight playoff race. OUA has a bunch of good teams, so...
Is it necessary to play the tournament?
Yes, because Carleton's losing in the second round.
They are not, but...
they are. Alberta is taking them down, so get ready.
It's very nice of you to think that, but...
I'm sorry. The history, so this is the thing. Carleton, the past 2 years, has won the national championship, obviously, like they have many of the years before that, but... They had taken a couple of losses in the regular season, so this year they've run the table so far, and I don't know if they're going to lose a game again until Nationals, so this is where the script changes.
Maybe they'll just purposely drop one this weekend.
Yes, they'll throw one to Nipissing or whoever they're playing.
It's too bad they don't come around Mac. Mac would beat them right now, considering how they're playing.
Go Mac, go.
Come watch McMaster basketball. It's very fun. They're good. My mom came to a game last weekend.
Oh, yeah?
It was like her first live basketball game in forever. And she's like totally bought into. She's like, I want to come back and watch them. I'm like, yeah, they're over next weekend, but do that.
An investment for next year.
She's going to a Raptors game in a couple weeks. Her first Raptors game ever, and she's like thrilled about it.
Good for her. Basketball is a fun sport. So people, if you don't want to shell out money for Raps tickets, it's.
Maybe my mom will listen to the podcast now.
Don't subject her to this.
Yeah, I guess not. Mitch, thank you for coming on. Listeners, thank you for tuning in. You can find the podcast on iTunes, leave a rating, leave a review, all that good stuff. Takes no time at all, really helps out. It makes us more easily findable, is that even a word? I don't know. But please do that. iTunes ratings, reviews, takes zero time, no money, and it warms my heart very, very much. So thank you in advance. I'll be back again tomorrow with another episode. Probably tee up All-Star Weekend, I guess. Something like that. We'll see. I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to do, but there will be a podcast tomorrow at some point. And until then, thank you so much for tuning in to Locked On Raptors, and we will talk to you soon.